Lord, please be with us and help us as we look at the Bible together. Teach us the particular thing that you want each one of us to learn this morning, and then help us to apply it in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're continuing our series on mission, and we're going to talk about the key issue, the one that underlies everything else, the one that the Lord Jesus tells us all to do. We'll be talking about prayer. We may not all be able to speak publicly, but we can all pray. And the Anglican Church is having a time of special outreach between Easter and Pentecost this year, Hope 25. And all the bishops in Australia are supporting this initiative. And Psalm 133 tells us that the Lord bestows a blessing where there's unity. The whole church has been called on to pray as we prepare for this, to pray for guidance for what we should do, that the Lord would prepare hearts and minds of people to be open to hear and respond to the gospel, to prepare us to speak and explain the gospel to them, and to know how to welcome, love and care for and nurture them. So first of all, what is prayer? Well, prayer is talking to God. It can be comforting, scary, challenging, easy, hard, need courage. It can be formal, it can be extemporary, and can be a once-off thing, or can be persevering, it can be for guidance, and in good times and bad. It can be praise, desperate petition, it can be with words or with groans. And we expect to see God's answers, but sometimes our prayers seem to just bounce off the ceiling. These can all be part of our experience. So why do we pray? And what, when, where and how? It's a huge topic, and this morning we'll just scratch the surface with what I hope will be helpful to us at St George's at this time in our history. So why pray? Well, first of all, Jesus told us to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told his disciples, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And earlier on, when he taught his disciples how to pray, what we now know as the Lord's Prayer, he says, "When you pray, not if you pray." It's something that he assumed they and we would be doing. He said that we should not make a show of it, but when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. So prayer is to be like breathing for us. And our Father in heaven hears and answers. Well, secondly, Jesus prayed. And we need to follow Jesus' example. And if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we? And Jesus prayed all the time. He fasted and prayed for 40 days in the wilderness before his public ministry began. He often went off to pray alone, sometimes all night. Sometimes he took his disciples with him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed in agony on his own that he would not have to endure the cross, but that God's will would be done, while the disciples slept. And he prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. And thirdly, it makes a difference. John Dixon, in his book, The Best Kept Secrets of Christian Mission, opens a chapter called Hidden Mission, Promoting the Gospel with Our Prayers, with a story from his past. His scripture teacher in high school had worked faithfully in his school on the North Shore of Sydney for years with little observable fruit. Then in 1982, everything changed. She hosted evangelistic events in her home with as many as 20 young people crammed into her lounge room, eager to ask their questions and listen to the guest speakers that she'd invited. At least 6 students gave their lives to Christ for the first time. 3 of them are now in full-time ministry, including John Dixon. A few years later, John Dixon asked her what she attributed her success to that year. Her answer, prayer. "We prayed earnestly, regularly, and specifically for your school, and the Lord in his grace answered us." That year there'd been a citywide prayer movement and her particular group had prayed for Sydney's North Shore. So is that what we need to do at St George's now? Definitely yes. And on a larger scale, history's been changed by prayer, including the course of the Second World War and the fall of the Berlin Wall, and I'll tell you a bit more about those later. So what should we pray for? First of all, let's pray for renewal. Pray that God would pour out his Holy Spirit here at St George's at this time and at this stage in our journey. And Lord, help us to be expectant and ready. And every revival in history has been preceded and accompanied by times of intense prayer. Firstly, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So after Jesus had ascended, his disciples returned to Jerusalem, and they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Then the Holy Spirit came with power, and the world has not been the same since. Then there's Martin Luther. During the winter of 1512, Luther locked himself in a room within the tower of the Black Monastery at Wittenberg and prayed over what he was discovering in the scriptures. As a result, the Reformation was born after that season of prayer and study of the word. And then there was Zinzendorf. On the 12th of August, 1727, Count Zinzendorf started a 24/7 prayer meeting with Moravian refugees in Hernhut, Germany. It lasted for 110 years, and he was known as the father of the modern missionary movement. And then there was John Wesley. Apparently Wesley rose at 4 a.m. to spend 4 hours in prayer before he started riding his horse to proclaim the gospel around England. And when he was too old for that, he prayed for 8 hours a day. And it's generally recognised that Britain avoided a revolution at the time of the French Revolution because of the effects of that prayer and the subsequent revival and the accompanying justice and social reform. And then in 1949, the revival in the Hebrides off the coast in far northern Scotland started with many people praying earnestly, and two of the more fervent prayer warriors were two elderly sisters who were shut in. One was nearly blind. And today, 24/7 prayer is an international movement of prayer, mission and justice, which began accidentally in 1999 and has grown virally to reach more than half the nations on earth. A 24/7 prayer room is a creative prayer space that enables a chain of unbroken day and night prayer, bringing friends, communities and churches together to seek the presence of God. Lord, make us ready here at St George's and help us to be diligent in prayer. And we need to pray for our leaders because they're on the front line. They're often tired, stressed, alone, vulnerable. They face difficult situations that need wisdom and or perseverance. Let's commit to pray for them regularly. To pray for Victor, Bishop Richard and the other leaders in the church throughout Australia. Pray for them that they may fearlessly preach the gospel. And if Paul needed prayer for this, so do our leaders. So from Ephesians, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And we pray that the gospel may spread rapidly and be honoured. Paul again asked, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. And we pray that God would open doors. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Only God opens doors and opens hearts. We can't do it, but God can. And thirdly, we need to pray for our friends and acquaintances. John Dixon tells of an older lady who babysat them as children and how she prayed for the family faithfully for many years. And we can all do that. And this is all particularly relevant for us today. Today we're launching something that's both exciting and concrete to help us pray together. These bookmarks, you should all find some on the ends of the pews, are designed for each of us to write the names of four people that we want to know to come to know the Lord Jesus. We can put them in our Bibles or somewhere that will remind us to pray for them each day. And we're planning to run Alpha between Easter and Pentecost, 11 or 12 weeks away, and that gives us 8 weeks to pray for them, and then perhaps we can invite them to Alpha. But there'll be more on that in the coming weeks. And when and where should we pray? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5, we read that we should pray continually. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we should pray constantly, in good times and bad, with thanks, wherever we are, for this is God's will for us. And for us today, remember the bookmarks. So how should we pray? Firstly, with compassion. In Matthew 9, we read that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, preaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And John Dixon points out that the meaning of the Greek word translated as compassion here has the meaning, as an Australian would say, he was gutted. Jesus was deeply moved because the crowds were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And in Matthew 10:1, we read, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So before Jesus sent out the 12, he called all the disciples to pray. So what's our part? What does Jesus ask us to do? To pray. And Dixon also points out that the meaning of to ask here is to plead or beg. It's heartfelt. So the Anglican Church throughout Australia has been called to prayer for Hope 25. Let's make it gut-wrenching pleading that many who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, may come to know the Lord Jesus and commit their lives to him across Australia and at St George's. And remember the bookmarks. And then we pray in the name of Jesus. What does it mean when we end our prayer with in Jesus' name? Well, firstly, we pray to God, our God and Father, through his only Son, our Lord Jesus. We have access to God because of what Jesus has done when he died on the cross. It means we're praying according to his will. For example, he wants all people to be saved, for things that line up with his character. For example, he's good, and with what he taught, like love and forgiveness. And we can start small. Pete Gregg, in his book Red Moon Rising, records this story. In 1982, at the height of the Cold War, the pastor of Leipzig's most dignified church called people to pray every Monday night. At the start, there were often fewer than a dozen people huddled together in this cavernous Gothic barn where Johann Sebastian Bach had premiered some of his finest choral pieces. 7 years later, 8,000 people crammed into the church. Outside on the streets and in other churches, there were as many as 70,000 people. Within a week, the prayer rally for peace had grown to 120,000, and the East German leader had been forced to resign. Within a fortnight, there were 300,000 protesters. 4 weeks later, the Berlin Wall came tumbling down. And we need to pray with perseverance. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the man who kept knocking on his friend's door in the middle of the night when he needed bread for an unexpected visitor. The man would get up and give him bread because he kept knocking. Then Jesus continued, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open." One of the greatest examples of praying with perseverance at great personal cost is the life of Rhys Howells. The Lord led him through many experiences, including being part of the Welsh Revival and setting up the Bible College of Wales, relying totally on God for finances. This prepared him for the task of intercession that God had for him. For 6 years, he led a team of intercessors at the Bible College who prayed earnestly for hours each day, particularly for significant times during the Second World War. Each time something happened that was unexpected and seemingly miraculous that changed the course of the war. There were four great prayer battles: the invasion of Britain, Alexandria, Moscow, and Stalingrad. These were later identified as Hitler's four great blunders, and then followed prayers for the Second Front and D-Day. But at St George's, what's happening at, with, and for us at St George's, particularly with Hope 25 rapidly approaching? What are we doing? How, when, and where do we pray? Well, we have morning prayer on Zoom each weekday morning. Everyone is welcome and encouraged to join. There's a link to it on the front page of the St George's website. And the staff team prays each week for the needs that we write on the welcome cards on each pew. And I'm sure they pray for a whole lot more as well. And there's a time of prayer for Hope 25 each Sunday between 9:15 and 9:45 in the parish room. Again, all are welcome and encouraged to join us each week or whenever you can. And there are prayers of the people during the service every Sunday. There are other informal prayer groups, and there's prayer as part of our Bible study groups. And many people at St George's use a prayer app to help them. Now, if you'd like to know more about that, you need to ask someone younger than me. And now we have the bookmarks to remind us to pray. And this isn't just for a few, it's for all of us. We can do it. So let's commit to pray for Hope 25, both here and around the nation, that many people will be drawn to the Lord Jesus. It's a time of intentional outreach between Easter and Pentecost this year, so let's be intentional about our praying for it too. We can pray individually or with a partner or a prayer triplet, in person, by phone or Zoom. We can pray when we're walking, gardening, washing up, as well as in a quiet time that we set aside. We can pray that our worship of the Lord at St George's will be so deep that anyone who comes in will be aware of being drawn into the Lord's presence, that we will all find healing, peace, refreshment and restoration. We can pray claiming the promises of the Bible, things like God wants all people to be saved and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. There's no end to the ways that we can pray. We just need to do it. So this morning, let's each ask the Lord to show us if there's one more way or time that we can commit to spend in prayer, individually or joining with others, each week or each day, for 5 minutes or half an hour, or whatever the Lord lays on our hearts. Remember the bookmarks. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the great privilege that you give us, that through the Lord Jesus, we have access to you to bring our praises, our concerns, and our needs. Help us never to take this for granted, but help us to come to you faithfully, often, and in all circumstances. Now, I just want to fill you in a little bit about this painting. When our daughter Christy was in year 10, so she must have been 15 or 16, she woke us up one morning. Can I have the door that came off of the cupboard that had just been taken out of the kitchen? She had had a dream, and this is the result of the dream. You see the hills, sunset, but the hills are also the arms of Christ. And in front is the Lone Reaper with that great field ripe and ready for harvest. And Christy saw herself as the Lone Reaper. So let's continue with our prayer. We remember that Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." We ask you today, the Lord of the harvest, therefore to send out workers into your harvest field here at St George's, across Tasmania and the rest of Australia. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.